I'd like to introduce us to the next section of our teaching on walking worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's from Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10. And the last part of that, we finally arrived at. The last part of that verse, increasing in the knowledge of God. And we all know that from the first day that we give our lives to Christ is the beginning of our faith walk. We start reading our Bibles. I never had one until finally somebody gave me one at that point. And the mysteries began to unfold before my very eyes. All the things that, and when Cheryl Kay and I were younger, I've known your mom for 30 or more years, and I thought those people in Bellas Falls that got saved were crazy people. I really did. And then I fell into that same thing and many years later. But we got to start someplace, and it starts with the first day we give our hearts to Christ. And we start learning things about what God's will is, what He desires in our life. But there are things that we find out about Him too, how faithful He is even when we're not, how good He is even when we're not, how forgiving He is even when we're not. But we grow more and more and more and more until people begin to see His likeness in us. And that's what God is really after. He wants people to see Himself revealed through us. We're His representatives, if you will. And so increasing in the knowledge of God, it always shows me that we've never arrived. You know, no matter how much knowledge we have, God is the one who has all knowledge and all wisdom, and we learn from Him. We learn from each other. We learn through the Word. And it's not just sense knowledge, because if you go by your five physical senses, how many of you know they've told you lies before and led you down a wrong path? Especially if you say, well, I don't know how I'll feel about that. People will say, well, I'll do this depending on how I feel. Well, as long as you feel, you're going to miss a lot of things. Can you feel gravity? Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you taste it? Can you smell it? But you know it's there, don't you? Otherwise, we'd have people jumping off the roof every day and just hanging out there in the atmosphere somewhere. No, they come down. Kaboom. We have Face Plant Alley right out there. That's my argument for people that say, well, I can't believe in a God I can't see. And I say, well, then how come you believe in gravity? We learn spiritual truths. We learn that we are a spirit. We live in a body. I just call it an earth suit because your kids can understand that. This is what we wear for the earth. When we graduate, we won't need it anymore. But there's another side of knowledge. It's learning not just information about the Lord, but we learn to know Him. It's like people you spend time with. You get to know them. You know their heart. You know their spirit. But it's over the course of time. I have three words here. How does this process affect believers? We get information. The Spirit gives us revelation. And that produces transformation in our lives. Information, revelation, transformation. Because slowly in the course of our life, God is working in our lives. He's molding us. He's changing us. And it's a lifelong process. So how does this process work? Well, information. We've got a Bible now. We can read it. And we can gather information. There's a lot of history in this book. There's a lot of archaeological ruins that confirm what this book says. And I believe it wasn't too many years ago that they found a chariot wheel where the Egyptians were chasing all the Israelites. Moses struck the water and God parted it. They all passed on dry land, and the Egyptian army thought they had them. And they came charging in, and the waters flooded them over in the Red Sea. And it was only very recently, within the last... And actually, I read that in National Geographic magazine. And there are others, but they've actually found biblical ruins. I've flown over Mount Ararat on my way to India, and it's all snow and ice, even in the summertime. And I know someplace, I wish that plane would fly a little closer, because it's always on my right-hand side coming home. It's in eastern Turkey, and I'm headed back either towards Germany or England, whichever my flight takes me. But I could see Mount Ararat, and I just wish you'd just go over a little closer so I could just, there it is. But I know it's there. It's a religious site. I wonder why that is. The Turkish government will not give people permission to hike to the top of that mountain because they're terrified of what they'll find. It's protected. And it takes years to even get up the permitting process to even endeavor to go to places like that. But it didn't mean I didn't want to. Because when you read, you gather information. What if your profession is, I don't know, maybe a news reporter, maybe for a local paper, maybe a big paper. How do you gather information? You talk or interview your friends, your neighbors, family members, employers, to get all the facts before you make a judgment about somebody. And even then, we shouldn't. And no matter how much information we have about someone, it doesn't mean that you know the person. And you know that's true. It's not just about what everybody else says about the person. Well, that's their reputation. But when you know the person, then you know their character. And when we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, we're not just gathering information about Him. We come to know Him more and more and more each day, each week, each month, and each year that goes by. I summarized my next 5 sentences, so I'm not going to read them. Unless you really want to hear them. The only way you will ever know someone is to have a personal relationship and spend quality time with each other. You know, when we come here, I think of the value. I know we call it Huggy Break because it's a wonderful time. And it's a time of fellowship. And it's a time where it's built into the morning, if you will, where we come and we just hang out with each other. We're just a room full of people that love Jesus. We're a family. But we've come that way over the years because a lot of us have walked that walk a long time. And a lot of us know each other very much more. And if you heard somebody say a bad thing about you, I'd know it was a lie. Because I know you. We know each other. And it's the same with growing in knowledge of the Lord. God is a good God, and He's good all the time. Amen. We have to remind ourselves, God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
You got it. Isn't that awesome just to say that out loud and know it's true?
Amen.
It is. Now this is a little more personal, but yet it's in our household. And this is even though Faith and I just celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary back in July, the end of July. There's some key things in this relationship. What makes her happy? I'm interested to know that. What makes her sad? I want to know that. What is she like? What does she dislike? And I never go clothing shopping for her. That's a no-no. I'd need to bring lunch. I can go to the store, zing, got it, 5 minutes, I'm back. Man, I never realized how big a mall is. But we've learned that over the years. And if I know what she likes, I strive to be attentive to those things. And when I learn what she doesn't, I avoid them. Why provoke somebody? Our house is supposed to be a house of peace. We have no other place to come to but home out of this world. And I like it peaceful. One particular time, I didn't know that it bothered her, but I kept thinking, wow, you're getting more like your mom. And I never realized how much that was hurtful because she didn't want to hear that. But I didn't know. I'm left-handed. What can I say? I should have left the answer silent. But you know what? It's been over 20 years and I've never said that again. I said, I will never say that. But you know, that's how we grow. And even in the Lord, we learn what pleases our Father, our Heavenly Father, and we learn what doesn't. And we make adjustments. And sometimes those things are rooted in the course of a long time. Well, it's always been like that. Well, it's time to change that if it has been. If it's not a good thing, I have a lot of favorite sayings, but one of them is, that may be true today. That may be the situation today, but it's subject to change in the name of Jesus. And if it has to do with me and I'm the problem, I'll let Him change me. I know what Hamburg feels like. Been squeezed a few times. Come on now. When the Holy Spirit starts dealing with us, it's not a big shout in the head. It's a big shot in the heart. And you just know. But He empowers us to make those changes in our lives. And the Bible is more than just a historical book about God. It's the revealed heart of God from God Himself. And when I read the scriptures, I read from His perspective what was in His heart when He said what He said. If you each, I would challenge you this week, write a love letter to each other. And then let me read it. The point of that is, I could tell a lot by what you wrote. You see, when you look at the scriptures like that, that is our love letter from our Heavenly Father. And when you read the scriptures, imagine him sitting before you and speaking those words. What was in his heart when he said how much he loved you? And it's not past tense. It's now. God is a now God. And if he said, I love you, and I gave my son on the cross for you, will you accept him? Will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? What are you going to do with that? We were talking about that Wednesday night. We were talking about the miracles that the Holy Spirit works, and some of them are very instant. And that's one of them. And we took, a few of us took turns sharing our salvation experience, what that was like, and how quick it happened when we came to our senses. Until we know him, he's God or somebody. My impression of him was he was like some kind of cosmic cowboy in a spaceship going around and just doing all kinds of funky things, because I didn't know. I had a very drug-oriented perspective at that time in my life. I didn't know any different, really, and I didn't really care. But now I don't see him like that. I see him as a father that I always wanted, but I never knew he was real. I never knew he existed. See, religion is like that. God is distant, but when you get saved, it's personal. He becomes your heavenly Father. And that's precious. So we're going to continue on this next week. Ken has a wonderful message that I know he's going to bring to you in my absence. I'll probably be sitting on a floor in a hut on a straw mat someplace and sharing the goodness of the Lord with some people. And even though it's remote, it's 8,000 miles from here, I can never separate myself from being here in my thinking. And I care very much when people say, I have something for the church and I'd like to share it. Bring it on. We got this. I'd like to close with prayer, but before I do, is there anybody here that wants prayer for yourself? You have needs for yourself.